The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we're back to the second hour on the Paul Feinbaum Show. And next up, we have a guest that I know, I would say, kind of well. I mean, I played against this young man. I little disappointed when he chose not to come to the University of Alabama. Instead, clearly made the best decision for himself. Coming out of Grissom High School in Huntsville, Alabama, choosing the Tennessee Vols. My next guest and the host of the Swain event. And look, Jason Swain, how you doing, boss?
Man, it's good to talk to you. I'm watching you on SEC Network. You've done a great job, and it's good to be here with you. Talk a little SEC football.
Man, I'm really excited. I want to hear your opinion. First and foremost, let's talk about your Tennessee Vols. Last year, I was the only person. I'll just sit up here and I'm cool with that. I accept that. I was the only one that said Tennessee was going to win 10 games before the season, and they got off to a hot start. I thought Hendon Hooker played out of his mind at times. I think the offense really allows for this offense to be successful with the way they design it and do some other things creatively and really spread you out defensively. And so I really, really enjoy watching Tennessee's offense. But for me, Jason, my first question is defensively, how does this Tennessee team get better defensively? Because you can't outscore everybody week after week after week. It just puts too much pressure on your offense.
Yeah, I mean, you had Tennessee winning more games last year than me. I had Tennessee winning 9 games, and you were the only person that was saying double-digit wins. And for me, I had no questions about the receivers or the running backs or Hendon Hooker. My question was about the offensive line, and would Darnell Wright play like a 5-star player? And he did his last year, and the offensive line was fantastic. And I think that's the big reason why Tennessee was able to win 11 games. But defensively, we saw last year where, especially, you know, Georgia game, South Carolina game, and other games where the offense kind of bailed the defense out, we saw that this defense heading into this year needs to improve, needs to get better. And I feel like Tennessee went to the portal and addressed the needs there at linebacker. They went out and got Keenan Peely from BYU. They went out and got Gabe Giulilalii from BYU as well. Secondary pieces. They got defensive tackle and Norman Lott, a defensive tackle. And this league, man, it's about the trench play. And got to get more pressure on the quarterback.
Yes.
I see Rodney Garner, who has coached so many teams in the SEC and had so much success, understands that. I think the line will be better from a depth standpoint. And I think the secondary will be better, too, adding some young players that were early enrollees this January. So I expect the defense to be better. And that'll take a lot of pressure off the offense, Roman.
Yeah, it will. And, you know, my biggest, you know, it's – look, you said some things that were so key right there. It's, you know, it's about the depth. It's about bringing in other guys. And how – I mean, it's crazy we have this conversation and, you know, how much college football has changed from when me and you were playing. I mean, you don't talk about some new incoming freshman. You're like, all right, we went to the transfer portal and we got some more guys. Like, that is how you solve your problems in today's college football is you go hit the portal. And for me, when I watch Tennessee's defense, it's not schematically that bothers me. It's not the players individually. It's that – they didn't force any turnovers last year. That was a huge stat that I think will be how does this team get more turnovers on the defensive side? How do they get more creative on that side and create more havoc and negative plays to help this team win more ball games?
Well, I know you benefited greatly from great pass rush in the secondary when quarterbacks were forced to throw the ball sooner than they wanted to. I think that's where it starts up front. Having more depth on the defensive line, getting to the quarterback. You know, last year you had a few guys just able to do it, but not enough. You need to get to the quarterback a whole lot more. I think in Josh Heupel's first season, the defense wasn't the best at getting off the field on third down.
Yes.
And then this past year, 22 season, because it was a point of emphasis, they did a better job of getting off the field on third down and did a good job of tackles for loss and creating negative plays. But the next step for this defense is creating turnovers, giving the offense a short field, getting off the field, creating pressure on the quarterback. And that that comes with understanding down and distances. It comes with, you know, developing physically during the summer in the weight room and being at the ideal weight and size, generating some pass moves and, you know, make sure your bag, your pass rush bag is full of different moves. But, yeah, this defense needs to take a step forward in the pass rush department. And then in secondary, just getting more guys that can compete and show some ball skills. I think at times last year, with injuries now, got to give them credit there. Mm-hmm. They had some injuries, and so it was tough for the defensive backfield to rotate as much as they wanted to. But when the ball's in the air, that ball is yours as if equally as much as it's the wide receivers. And so getting more guys who are athletes that can go and make plays on the ball, I think is something that's very, very important for the defense. I think we'll see more of.
Okay, so Jason, tell me this, though. So I'm looking at Tennessee's schedule right now. And, look, everybody just assumes Tennessee's going to beat Florida. But that's something that Tennessee has not done a lot of throughout its history, especially the last, 18 years or so. So how do they beat they should beat Florida. And they should beat South Carolina at home. But we thought that that was all the same thing last year, and not everything plays out the way that it is. Looking at Tennessee's schedule, how do they win the East? And if they don't win the East, I know outside of Georgia, who else scares Tennessee in the East?
I mean, I think in the East it's Georgia when it comes to scaring Tennessee. You give South Carolina credit. I mean, they put it on Tennessee when the Vols hit South Carolina, and this was coming off a performance that South Carolina had against Florida that would probably give any team going in there confidence that they would win. But Carolina was a different team from week to week. And I think Carolina had a lot of motivation because the previous year, Tennessee had put it on South Carolina at home. And so they were motivated. The crowd was rocking. That's always one of the best places to play in the SEC. I think it's probably the most underrated place to play in the SEC. But it was a perfect storm for South Carolina that night. I look at the Florida game, and man, the Swamp is so intimidating. It really is.
It is.
But this roster is different than what I'm used to seeing. I mean, I'm used to seeing a roster that has 7 or 8 NFL draft picks on it. Mm-hmm. And it just doesn't look like we're going to see that from this Florida team, as they're still trying to figure out adding in talent, who's going to play quarterback, you know, getting guys to buy into a new coach. It's still a hard place to play, but the personnel of Florida, just if I'm a Tennessee fan, I feel pretty good about going into the Swamp. And we've seen Tennessee be the better team from a personnel standpoint and still find a way to lose. I mean, 2015 team was a good example of that, 2017 team. So understanding history, you got to go in there with the mindset that you're playing LSU on the road or Alabama at the road. On the road, because it's the SEC and anybody can win it on any given Saturday.
And so with Tennessee being the only team that can effectively maybe knock off Georgia this year, are you that confident that Tennessee wins more games than they did last year, regular season? So is this a 9-win team, a 10-win team? I want to hear from Jason Swain today. You tell me who this Tennessee team is, and I'm putting you on the spot right now. Are they better? And better meaning they will have more wins than they did last year? And is that the standard in which Tennessee will be measured against going forward from here on?
I think the standard is winning double digits moving forward. I mean, you look at what Josh Heupel did in his second season, and this was after he took over and almost 40 guys hit the portal.
It was a mass exodus.
Or 30 guys hit the portal, yeah. So, like, I mean, this is kind of the floor, I feel like, when you think about – Tennessee recruiting moving forward. You have a quarterback of the future and Nico Yamaliava. And so, yeah, like, I'm not afraid of high expectations. Josh Heupel is not either. But I have Tennessee at 9 wins, I mean, right now. Because, you know, Joe Milton, this is his last opportunity to be a starting quarterback. I see a lot in Joe. I see the changes that Joe Milton has made from the time he was a starter in 21 to now being a starter again in 2023. Like, I see the confidence, the leadership, and I didn't know what to expect going into the Orange Bowl versus Clemson. But seeing him handle that situation early in the game, where Tennessee's usually jumping on opponents, But Tennessee wasn't able to jump on Clemson because Clemson's defense was good. Tennessee was unable to run the football. Tennessee was able to have those deep shots, but stay true to the running game, even though it wasn't successful. And Joe just took what the defense gave him. And then in the second half, things started to open up, and he was really accurate with the football. Had a deep shot to Romeo Keaton where he didn't overthrow the receiver. Mm-hmm. That's been the biggest knock on Joe Milton.
It has been.
But I saw those changes in Joe. So I'm okay with 9 wins, expecting to hit double digits in the regular season. I'm okay with that. Let's go.
Well, Jason, it was great catching up. Thank you giving all that Vol information. And let's be honest, Joe Milton probably better than most quarterbacks, well, probably all the quarterbacks you had in college. The game was completely different back then. So looking forward to it, man. And I know Clausen was your guy too, though. Clausen had some swag to him.
Yep, Clausen was my guy. And I appreciate the opportunity today. Great job. And let me borrow one of those suits, Roman.
I got plenty of them, baby. Trust me, I got you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Jason Swain of the Tennessee Vols, a former Tennessee Volunteer, a wide receiver from Alabama. It was crazy just seeing this young man grow up and become the player and now the host of the Swain Event. Thank you for joining us. More of your calls after the break.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
How great was this? All of a sudden, seeing James Brown with Apollo Creed coming out. In that Rocky movie back in the day. Beautiful. Beautiful, DJ Mikey C. Appreciate that. I want to take more and more of your calls, reminding everybody, give us a call. We'll talk about it. 855-242-7285. Once again, 855-242-7285. Next, we have Christian. Christian, you're on the Paul Feinbaum Show. What can I do for you, boss?
Mr. Rowan Harper, a big roll tide from Coleman, Alabama. How you doing today?
I am doing great. How are you doing?
Man, I'm surviving some storms here, but we're going to make it through, man. I love the Paul Feinbaum Show, and I always get to talk to Paul. I never really get to talk to any guests, so this is actually kind of a first for me, but
okay.
I understand you played at Alabama. I wanted to ask you what your most memorable moment was at the capstone. And then also, how do you feel about the defense this year, man? I think it could be one of the best.
All right. So my most memorable moment at the capstone. All right. This might be a little bit of story here, but Christian, you asked, so I'm going to tell it to you. All right, this was before Nick Saban. So, you know, Nick runs a little bit tighter of a ship than probably when I was there. And so this was me. So versus Tennessee, I made a hit on a guy, caused him a fumble. We won the game, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it was a really great play. Ended up being a Daniel Moore print. They call it a Rocky stop, whatever. That was really big, but that's not the biggest moment. The biggest moment is I had a class on Monday nights, an English class once a week, and so I took it on Monday night so I could get out of practice. And so I would go there, and then so after I made the big play on that Saturday, I didn't go to class that following Monday. And then we played another game, and of course I played, and we won again, and then I didn't go to class that following week either. It was bad. All right, I know that's bad. I'm not telling anybody to do this, but this was my life, and I was 21, 22. I'm 22 years old at this time. And so the third week, I'm like, all right, I got to go to class here. I've not been to class in 2 weeks on a once-a-week class. This is not smart. This is not good. And so I get there, and I was like a minute or two late, like right as I was about to like walking in. So I was going to try and make it an excuse to tell the teacher why I hadn't been here, even though I know they've been watching me play football the last couple of weeks. And as soon as I walked in, the whole class stood up and gave me a standing ovation. And I just kind of sat there, and I was just shocked and totally caught off guard. And the teacher was like, I mean, we've been waiting on you for the last 2 weeks. You know, every time the door opened, we thought it was you. We've just been waiting to celebrate you. And I was just like, I hadn't been feeling well, you know. He's like, it's all good. Just go sit down. You're good. Appreciate it. And I just said, shook my head, and I went and sat in the classroom. And it was great. Just know I made a good grade in that class, and it worked out great. That's my best moment at the capstone.
That's awesome. To answer my second question again, how do you feel about this year's defense? Because I'm hearing it could be one of the best. I think we got the talent.
I think talent is never an issue at Alabama. So for me, it is, can they create turnovers? Do they look the part? Are they better against the run at times? And in third downs, can they get off the field? That was where I felt like this team really struggled out. I thought that sometimes it looked like the players were thinking instead of just playing. And as a defense, I want a defense. It's sometimes better, Christian, to like, if we only have three defensive play calls, I'd rather us only run three plays and know how to defend everything with those three plays versus let's run 12 plays, mess up four of them, not really understand what motion checks happened on three of them, and then we'll be okay on like two of them. Like, no, just do what you really do good, and let's play with our hair on fire. Teams, defenses that play fast are the ones that scare you the most. The ones that no matter what you throw at them, they got it figured out. Instead, sometimes at times you've seen in Alabama's past on defense, when they don't look good, it's because motion happens. Guys don't know where they need to be at. Somebody's playing this coverage. Eight guys are playing this coverage. You got another three that are playing another coverage. That means you have no defense. So Alabama at some point has to get that part of it right, and it has nothing to do with talent. It's going to be about the optics and everything else that they're doing, Christian, that lets me know early in the season whether this will be a dominating defense or it may just be a middle-of-the-road Nick Saban defense.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for taking my call. We're trying to survive some storms here, but we'll make it through, man. I love you guys, and y'all do a great job. Roll Tide.
Hey, Roll Tide. Thank you so much, Christian, for your call, man. Y'all be safe out there in Coleman, Alabama. I you know, that's right hometown for me. Not hometown, but that's my home state. So you guys all be safe, and we all know tornadoes that sometimes usually start to act up around this time of the year when we get some bad storms. All right, next we got James from Dallas.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my phone call.
And, oh, man, thank you for calling, James. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And I'm going to start off by saying I respect everything that the SEC has done. But I'm a Florida State alumni class of 2007, and I will say this. The Florida State Seminoles are back. And if anybody is thinking that LSU is going to walk the dog on Florida State come September, they got another thing coming. And then 3 weeks later, we going to handle business against Clemson, and then I'll see y'all in the playoffs.
You know what, James? I don't think you're that wrong. I think their quarterback is phenomenal. I think he's an amazing scrambler. He is a playmaker. I think he does whatever he needs to do to help his team win. I thought he showed tenacity. I thought he was consistent last year when I thought – we all know the most important position is the quarterback position, especially in college football. And so you got a lot of things going for you at Florida State right now. Mike Norvell has this thing trending in the right direction. And if they can continue to put it together, they got defensive studs. They got guys that could have went to the draft stay. And look, Max Chadwick said it earlier. This is the team to beat. He is high, high on Florida State this year, and I'm really looking forward to it myself, and I can't wait to see this game. That would be the game of the week, LSU versus Florida State. And, James, you're calling it? I'm with you, brother. I don't think LSU just comes in and does what people just assume what will happen whenever the SEC matches up with another conference of a team.
Yes, sir. Exactly. Exactly. And like I say, I will get an SEC, you know, their respect, because right now the SEC is running the game. But I'm just saying, watch out for those Florida State Seminoles, and I thank you for taking my call, my brother. Thank you.
Thank you, James. And after that, yep. James, more calls. Everybody, either you love it or you hate it, FSU is kind of back, guys. More after the break with the more from the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
All right. Back on the Paul Feinbaum Show. This is your host for the day, Roman Harper. And I just got to be honest. Look, we got some calls waiting, and I just got to put everybody on pause because I got some things I need to get off my chest about the preview of the SEC. Yes, I work for the SEC Network. Yes, this is what I study. And yes, I do have an opinion on most of the teams throughout the SEC. I want you guys to tell me if I'm wrong or if I'm dead on it. Okay, let's start at the top. LSU. I think LSU has the best defensive line in the SEC. All right, you look at Mason Smith returning off of ACL. The dude is a monster. Monster. He will be great next year for this LSU Tigers football team. Also, Mekhi Wingo, the most underrated person that nobody talks about unless you know what you're talking about. This kid is a force to be reckoned with. Oh, he is speed to power all day long. All day long, and is always in the other team's backfield. Not only that, but he never comes off the field. He has endurance for days. He's a transfer from Missouri after being an all-SEC freshman player. Comes to LSU and takes it to another level. I love this young man's game. He's going to be undersized, and that's what people are going to talk about, but I don't care. Cut on the tape. He's always playing hard. And I ain't even talking about Harold Perkins yet. Hadn't even dropped that name. Doesn't even matter. And he's going to play off-the-ball linebacker this year. I'm very, very interested to see how LSU uses this guy. That being said, I just dropped the names, but that doesn't matter. Because at the end of the day, you've heard it here. My man Max Chadwick already said they're going to lose to Florida State. That's not what Roman Harper said. But the experts are saying Florida State's going to win that game. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing what LSU will be this year, because last year when nobody paid them attention, after they lost that Florida State game, everybody cut off the TV on LSU. And you know what? All they did was go out there and win the SEC West and get right back into championship hunt. But that's when nobody was paying attention. But when everybody started to pay attention to them, they struggled down the stretch versus Arkansas. They lost to Texas A&M. They limped into the SEC championship game versus Georgia, where Georgia dominated them at times. And then all of a sudden they got hot when they brought in when Jaden Daniels went out. Next you know, Nussmeier brings them back. They're throwing the ball left and right. They make it a game. It seems like it a game on the scoreboard. But overall, Georgia wins the game. We'll know exactly who LSU is after the first month of the season. They start off with Florida State. They have a home game versus Grambling, I know, to get back healthy and fine-tune some things up. But you're at Mississippi State. And what if Mississippi State is better than we anticipate? What if Zach Arnett has Mississippi State being a very physical team on both sides of the football, not just on defense where we know he's going to be a physical brand of football, but on offense now where, God rest his soul, Mike Leach would maybe kind of desert the run. You know what Zach Arnett says? No, we're going to run the football. We're going to be a physical brand of football that Mississippi State is used to seeing. What if Mississippi State's better? What if LSU just kind of looked past Mississippi State? You walk into Starkville on the wrong day. I've been there. Then you got Arkansas at home. Raheem Sanders said this is going to be their year. They get bring back KJ Jefferson. We all know what Sam Pittman is as a head coach and everything he's done for that program. Then they're on the road at Ole Miss. I mean, we're picking LSU to win the West. A lot of people are. But, man, that's four heavy hitters in the first 5 weeks of the season. We will know exactly who LSU will be this year based upon the first month. That is what my opinion is about LSU. I can't wait to hear what your guys' opinion is. Alabama, it's all about the optics of operation. What do I mean by that? That's a lot of words, a lot of O's in one sentence. What does that mean? What does it look like? What is the appearance of Alabama and the brand in which it is and the football that they put out there on Saturdays? Is the quarterback in place? I've heard three names dropped. None of them been told me that they're starting. But I heard three names dropped, though. They got a new coordinator in Tommy Reese. And one of the quarterbacks, he coached before. I just want to put that out there, too. Now, are they forcing turnovers on the defense? That's something that Alabama did not do last year. That is something that got Alabama in a lot of trouble. They could score points, but their defense couldn't get off the field. That's the antithesis of what Nick Saban's defense and brand of football has been since he's been there. When they need it the most, the defense makes a play and gets them back on top in the SEC championship. All right? Jordan Battle picks the ball off from Stetson Bennett, takes it to the house. That is a big play turnover than what the defense always shows up on the biggest moment. That is what Alabama and their brand of defense has been. I haven't seen it. I didn't see it last year. You bring in a new coordinator in Kevin Steele. You got some new look guys. You got some young guys. You got a veteran group over there. You got guys that played a lot of football and a coaching staff that knows how to win. What is the optics of Alabama next year? Do they look more physical running the football? J.C. Latham in the guard, Booker. These guys are NFL talent-ready guys. All the stars in the world, all of them. They check all five of them every single time. Are they running the football downhill at guys? That is the optics in which we all will be looking forward to seeing from Alabama next year. South Carolina, I mean, I could see them losing eight games. I could also see them winning eight games. Who is South Carolina going to be? We know they're kind of thin at places, and we know Spencer Rattler is lights out when he's on. We saw that. But will he be on next year? I don't know. All right? Ole Miss. I mean, you're at Tulane, at Bama, at Auburn, at Georgia, at Mississippi State. Hardest road schedule in the conference. Hands down. Period. I don't hear nothing else. Period. Georgia. I mean, I already got you penciled into the playoffs. Moving on. Carson Beck. You got to show up, boss. Moving on. Texas A&M, it's all about Jimbo Fisher and Bobby Petrino. I like Connor Wegman. I like their receivers. That young Moose Muhammad II, boy, baller. Evan Stewart, baller. But can they get along up top? Any great team or organization that ever been around, you had trust on all three levels, from coach to coach, player to coach, and player to player. I want to see that out of Texas A&M. I'm tired of talking about it. I'm tired of asking. But when are we going to see Texas A&M be who we all and think they should be? That is what we're all looking for. Is this the year? I don't know. We'll see. We will see. Kentucky, lack of depth is a concern for me. I love that they bring back Liam Cohen at OC. Leary, the transfer quarterback, dude's been a baller at times in college football. Hasn't been healthy. The schedule is doable, though, if things fall in place for them. They got Florida at home early. Is this going to be another Kentucky team that knocks off Florida? Possibly so. And last but least, I want to talk about Arkansas. I think they're on the high end of winning nine games. On the low end, I think they could probably win six. And you got a new offensive scheme. You got a new defensive scheme. But you got KJ Jefferson and Rocket Sanders, two of the best in their positions in all of the SEC. That is my take. I want to hear you guys' take. You guys tell me I'm wrong. Am I really that wrong? I think I've been studying this. I think I've been looking at this. I'm trying to make the SEC make more sense. I don't know if it does make sense. Is Alabama at the top? Is LSU at the top? Or is it going to be Ole Miss? Somebody out of nowhere that we don't see. Who's that team going to be this year? I want to know it. I'm asking the listeners to tell me I'm crazy. Tell me. Mikey C, say that again.
Let's squeeze in Hooch before the break.
We're going to go to the calls. Hooch, you're on the line, baby. Let me hear you.
Hey, Roman, how are you doing today? Happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th of July, man. Thank you for calling.
Compliments to you on being the snappiest dresser on the SEC now, for sure, without a doubt.
Thank you for that, man. I'm actually in the radio right now, dressed up. I got my blue, white, and red on, represent for the country. I got my American flag lapel pin on. I'm feeling fresh, bro.
You go, bro. Well, listen, I was going to comment some about the callers, and before I go, I will try to tell you who I think you should tag on their coattail.
Okay, tell me.
As far as you were talking about earlier. But I think you were trying to talk a little football there. LSU is loaded, brother. I think they're gonna be tough. But I'm going to tell you about Bama. I've watched Bama for a long time. And what's different than what it was when Nick was winning championships is the defense. You hit the nail on the head, brother. You can have a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, but if you ain't got a defense, you can't stop nobody else. It's hard to outscore every team every game.
Yep.
Same goes with Tennessee.
Yep.
High-powered offense. But you know the defense is where they're not showing up. If they start playing some defense, man, I think they'll be back in the game. But just to mention a few things about the callers, I agree with Augie. We need to leave Jim alone. Jim's paid his dues. He's earned his right, and he does stir people up when he calls in. You know, humility is not one of his strongest characteristics, but that's okay. As far as legend goes, whatever his name is, you know, he's so inconsistent, and I really sometimes think he's like fake. I mean, the man talks about sleeping with a fat head of Nick above his bed. Hey, look, I love college football, and I'm a Georgia guy, and I love Kirby, but there'll never be a fat head of Kirby Smart above my bed. Another thing, legend, you know, he made a comment a while back that if Stetson Bennett got drafted, that he was going to move to Canada. So I think what really may have happened is he's gone to cooking school up in Canada. He's working at a steakhouse up there now or something. That's why he's kind of disappeared on us. Handsome Joe from Red Bay. You ever been dove hunting, Roman?
I have not.
Dove hunting in South Georgia, South Alabama. Handsome Joe said he was wearing a white hat in his picture. He was dove hunting. Brother, don't nobody wear a white hat dove hunting in South Alabama, South Georgia. You go home empty-handed. Those birds have got eyes like eagles. Oh, Larry. Larry is absolutely the man, the best caller. He's a beer-drinking, boat-riding, ladies' man. And he's the hot caller right now. So that's my take is hope you'll get Larry to call in and you can visit with him. His only downfall is he gets a little confused about Bama sometimes, but he's the man.
Well, Hooch, thank you for that, man. It's okay to be confused as a caller. All right, but Larry, you getting called out, baby. We need you today. Show up, Larry. All right, Jim, we miss you. And Legend, you're probably in Canada because Stetson Bennett did get drafted. So looking forward to more of your calls. Give us a call back. Coming back after the break, 855-242-7285 on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we're back, almost through two whole hours. The time is completely flying by on the Paul Feinbaum Show. I'm your host for the day, Roman Harper. Please, more of your calls, more of the drama, and let me know whose coattail I should be riding of all the callers on this show into my 4th of July weekend. 855-242-7285. Please reach out. Let me know something. We're going to the lines right now. We got Tyler from Lexington. Tyler, you're on the Feinbaum Show with me, Roman Harper.
How you doing, Mr. Harper? Happy 4th.
I'm doing great, man. Happy 4th of July to you, too, as well.
I just want to call in you're about to run down on my Wildcat.
I like Kentucky. I'm just nervous to how much I can believe and pick them just because the lack of depth kind of worries me a little bit. This is a team where I look at the schedule, and it's a doable schedule. Like, Kentucky can win some
I think we can go 9-3.
I'm with you. I could totally see that. And the thing is, the only concerns I have is the lack of experience, depth in some positions. But, man, the wide receiver positions, explosive. I love
it. Brown, Dane
yes.
T are both excellent.
Yes.
The defense is where it's going to stand out. I'm going to give you a reason why real
give
fast.
Give me some, baby. Give it to me. Come on.
I'll give you one name, Deion Walker.
Uh-huh. That's
kid 6'6", 330. He was all-freshman team last year. He's going to be an All-American this year. We have a linebacker, Trevin Wallace, that I think is going to step into a nice role and be a first-team All-SEC performer. And then if you look at the year since 2019, there's only been three teams to finish in the top five in defense in SEC. It's been Alabama, Georgia, and Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
We have the best defensive coordinator in the country in Brad White. That's why LSU tried to come get him. Our previous coordinator went to the Chiefs, and who is now at LSU, Matt House. So we know how to do defense here in Bluegrass Country.
I agree with you. I love that the consistency in which they play defense with. You know Kentucky's going to show up on that side of the football. And they're not going to do anything that's out of the characteristics of who they are. Not only that, but your head coach can develop talent. That is what Kentucky, no doubt. Mark Stoops, that is what
Indeed.
They do there. They develop talent. I love it. They bring them
Indeed.
In, they get them better, and by the time they leave, they're first-round picks or they're NFL quality players who can come in, learn a scheme, and be effective in whatever you ask them to do. That is what I love
I
about Kentucky
top
players.
Five or six in draft picks since Stoops has been here in the SEC.
None of that would surprise me, Tyler. As a matter of fact, I love all the points that you're bringing up, and this is just my last thing, is that Devin O'Leary, Devin Leary, as good as he's been, it's his health concerns. So if anything goes down with him, it really makes me downgrade Kentucky. I just understand how important it is to play quarterback. Yeah, the offensive line is another question. I wasn't going to bring it up. I was right about that last year when I banged Kentucky about the offensive line play.
I can't say the word I want to say. We were bad.
It was not good at times. And Devin Leary's a quarterback that can't take these hits. So how's the offense going to look? I love bringing back Liam Cohen. I think he's a great addition to this team.
Sure.
And this, and like what this team needs, he's great. The dialing it up, everything looks the same. All the pass plays look like runs. The run plays, they build them off a pass. You know, the formations, like all these things are really good.
Runs well.
I could see them 7-8 wins, 9 wins at the top end, yes. But, man, that's the best version of Kentucky. Tyler,
Roman, last thing I'll say, and I'll get off,
All right.
I told Paul Feinbaum this a couple of weeks ago. One of our wins is going to be when Alabama comes to Lexington.
Okay. All right. I'm going to mark this down. You heard this? Tyler.
I heard it.
From Kentucky. One of their big wins, one of their wins, they're all big. One of their wins this year will be Alabama when Alabama travels to Lexington. I hope SEC Nation is there so I can actually see this, Tyler. Thank you for that call. Thank you for that call, man. You have a good one as well. And you heard it here first. Look, I'll just go down the list. Kentucky, Ball State, win. Eastern Kentucky, win. Akron, win. At Vanderbilt, I'm giving it a win. They got Florida at home. I think that's a win. Georgia, on the road, that's a loss. Missouri, they could totally win that. Tennessee, they could win that at home. It's 9 wins, 8 wins is not crazy for Kentucky Wildcats. They have to do it the right way, though. Looking forward to seeing it. We'll talk about more of this and more of your break, more calls after the break. 5 o'clock hour coming up next. We got a couple calls and guests. Thank you.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.